If you could turn with me to the psalm that we read earlier, Psalm 138. And I'd like to just read that last verse again, or last two verses. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Though thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth for ever. Forsake not the works of thine own hand. I'd like to look at this last verse, the first bit. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. I'd like to turn to a well-known book and just pick out four sections from this book, the book of Esther. And my subject is the power of God's plan. So, to summarise, I'm going to start in chapter 4, and to summarise what's happened so far, the Queen Vashti has been invited to join with the King at this party that he's joined, and Vashti has refused to do that, and then the King looks for a new Queen and chooses Esther, and at the end of chapter 2, Mordecai hears that two people, Bigman and Teresh, are going to try to kill the king. And Mordecai tells Esther, and Esther is able to use her position of power to warn the king. And this is recorded down. And then there's this man, Haman, who is given a great deal of power. Mordecai doesn't bow down to him. He only reverences God. And so this makes Haman angry, and he's looking now to kill the Jews because of this. So we join in verse 4, where Mordecai is now telling Esther that in her position of power, it's an opportunity for her to tell the king and to save the nation. And this is my first point, that God can control our feelings. If we look in at the last bit of chapter 4, it says, it's verse 14. Mordecai is telling Esther that, verse 13, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. And he's telling her that in this position that you have, it's important that you go to the king and say what this plan is that you've heard about. And I'm sure that Esther and Mordecai were very anxious about this. And the first point, anxious. Being anxious, it's very easy to be anxious. There's surely different things that each one of us is feeling anxious about, maybe now or in the past, and different reasons to be anxious, and it's a natural feeling. But it says that in verse 16, fast ye for me. That was what Esther then said to Mordecai. And fasting was what they did when they used to pray to God and look to him for guidance. And it's showing me here that that if God is giving this anxiety, this anxious feeling to Esther and Mordecai, and it's for a reason, and it's not because they're in a situation where they cannot control or what they cannot deal with. God doesn't do that. He puts us in a situation that we can deal with, and it's a sign that they can rely on him, that they're helpless without his help. And it reminded me when I went to the prayer meetings at my friend's church. My friend used to always pray, end his prayers with, leave the troubles at your feet, the best place that they can be. And it really hit me that he, as such a young man, was able to pray this, that he would leave all his troubles, all his concerns from work and other situations, personal situations, at thy feet, because that is the best place that they can be. And it made me think that if we are feeling anxious, then it's surely a sign that we should trust on God more and look to Him for the answer, just like Esther did here. And she says, "If I perish, I perish," at the end of verse 16. It makes you think as well that with the country as it is now, how much better it would be if they trusted in Him when they get anxious about things, not to panic, not to make laws out of pressure, but to trust on Him and look to Him for guidance. And so my next section of this, controlling our feelings and our emotions, is the courage that Esther has. And it's the most well-known emotion or point through Esther is her courage. Partly where she says, "If I perish, I perish," she has the confidence that God can deal with this, and whatever is God's plan will happen. And it shows that God has given Esther this courage. In verse 1 of chapter 5, she goes in to see the king. And she put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house. And it might escape us that this was actually a very courageous thing to do. She could have been killed for going to see the king without an invitation. But yet she had the courage. She had the courage given by God to go and deal with this. And she couldn't ignore the opportunity that she was given. And it's a sign to me that sometimes we're given opportunities and we might feel there's a different way to do it. But if God gives us this opportunity, then we should take courage from that God has put us in that situation and we can deal with it and not to ignore the situation. I was recently in my job, I had to do a lot of sales, and recently helping someone else with their sales, and they were saying that when now they're coming more confident, they're getting more success out of it. And in a similar way, I know it's an odd picture to use for it, but confidence is recognisable, and if we can have this confidence in God to guide us through these situations, then people will recognise it, and what a great testimony that would be. Says in Philippians 4 verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And if people can see that, then it's a great witness that we can share for them. So we can ask God to control our feelings. Secondly, we can ask God to control our words. If we look at verse 3 of chapter 5, when she goes in, she's patient. She gets asked what her request is, and then in verse 4 it says, and Esther answered, "If it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I prepared for him." And it shows me that she was patient. She could have easily gone in and said what she'd heard, the Haman's plans to kill the Jews, but she didn't. She relied on God to give her the right words. And sometimes the world can catch us out when we're at work. They can try to mock us. And it's important that we remember what the right thing to say is and to show patience when trying to share His words. I had a conversation with someone recently and they said that their grandparent was very ill. And it would have been easy just to say, "God's in control, you have no need to worry about it." But it's not the right way to show empathy. And having a bit more of a conversation, she was then asking me about my religion, and I was able to answer her questions that maybe she's had for a while. And just showing a bit of patience sometimes is beneficial when sharing his words. But also, the way that she says her words, she's showing respect. She doesn't go in with this confidence that God has given her to go in and forget how to approach the king. She says, if it seemed good unto the king, she's very respectful to him. And it's a reminder for us, if we are in situations where we have to say about God or to stand up for what we think's right, to do it in the right way and keep the high ground. And it's testing for me, it's testing, I'm sure, for other people to be able to do that as well. But that we have this reminder from Esther that if God can control our words, then we can deal with the situation in the best way. It says in Psalm, "Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips." Psalm 141, verse 3. And so when we're going into work or situations, to say the right thing. That can be our prayer, that we deal with things in the right way. And so thirdly, looking at his control over actions, if you turn to chapter 6, Esther has since asked for a banquet, and then she asked for another banquet as well. And again, looking at this patience that she has. But in chapter 6, it says that the king could, on that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the chronicles, and they were read before the king. And then it says later on that he was read to about Mordecai being telling that the king would be killed or assassinated, and it says that nothing has been done to honour him. And it shows here that I think there's two main bits where God has control over men's actions. Firstly, that the king could not sleep, and secondly, that they read the book of the record of Chronicles, and this part that was so relevant for Mordecai. For those of us who like maths, it's conditional probability. If the king had slept, he wouldn't have read this, and it relied on one to be another. So it shows that God can control men's actions. Just a little thing like the king's sleep. How important it was to this story, we know it now. That it was important that Mordecai was honoured to then end up saving the Jews. But also his control over Satan, and this pride that Haman shows throughout the story here is a pride given by Satan. I think the easiest representation of God's power over Satan is in Job, when he says in Job 2, you can do all these things to Job to test his faith, but don't take his life, save his life. And it says later on that Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote him with the balls of his foot. I've got this example, but he didn't take his life, he saved his life. And it shows that God, even the devil has these boundaries. He's submissive to God. He cannot overrule God in any way. And just here where Haman is doing, he's under the control of Satan. He has this pride, and it's resulting in him making all these plans. He's under control by God still. And I was thinking how that's such a... it's a very difficult situation when people have to fear for their lives when they worship in other countries. But it's such a sign to them that God is in control even of these wicked men, even the ones that Satan has control over. And if it ever happens in this country, I hope it will be a sign to us that God is in control still, and it's his will. His plan will be fulfilled. And then my last point, controlled timings. Each of us have a different experience of when God has controlled timings in our lives for our testimony. I know in my experience I could have gone to prayer meetings for years before, but he didn't make it like that. He made it until I was enthusiastic about it, and I was referencing things for myself. And when I was that age, that's when I started to go, and I see that as God's timing, and it's his plan being under control. So looking back, I left this till last because it's you can never fully understand God's plan until after. Sometimes the timings won't make sense for us. If you look at chapter 4, like we did before, where Mordecai is speaking to Esther, and it says, "Who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for such time as this?" Mordecai sees that God's timings are so powerful. He sees that if Esther hadn't been in the kingdom, if she hadn't been queen, then this wouldn't have turned out like this. There's other examples where, if you look at chapter 2, Mordecai saves the king's life in verse 21 to 23, before Haman's even mentioned in the book. So God is making these plans for Mordecai, for Esther, and for the Jews, before Haman's even mentioned, before Satan has even started his work by promoting Haman. And so right through this book, We have this providence of God. Even though the name God isn't actually mentioned in the whole of Esther, this providence is shown throughout. And if we can show that through to others as well, witness to others that we trust in the providence of God. Don't even have to mention him, but sometimes our faith is, it can be that much of a witness to others, and that's a good witness to have. So looking back at that verse in Psalm, the Lord will perfect me that which concerneth me. It says in the verse before, I read that before, because it says, I walk in the midst of trouble. It doesn't say that God will make our situation easy. It doesn't say that he will deal with it in a different way. He doesn't protect us from these, but he never puts us in a situation that we can't deal with. And it's one way that we can grow in grace, by looking to him and believing in his plan, the providence of God, that we can grow in grace. And that's definitely something that I'm sure each one of us will have experienced. We've all been through times that we find tricky, but God is in control. So hopefully it can be a prayer of us that God will control our feelings and help us to have control over our emotions, whether it's anxious or other difficult ones, or whether it's giving that courage as an effect of our anxiety, and whether we pray that he can control our words and make sure that we're patient and say the right thing at the right time, control our actions and the actions of those that are in power, and also control our timings and help us to trust in him and not to doubt him. And I think a verse that summarises it is Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose.